getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. All right, everybody, welcome back to our second panel cast. I am AJ once again. I didn't change my name since last week. With me once again this week is Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
And, you know, he actually made it out of bed today, and that's Mr. Brandon. We're happy to hear.
Hey, guys. I just want to take a quick second to apologize for missing out on the initial podcast. I was there in spirit, and now I'm here in the physical as well as the metaphysical. So
that's more than we wanted to know.
Okay.
Anyway, so we're just going to, before we dive into anything, I want to, again, introduce Brandon. Tell us, Brandon, what do you do for Ben Powell here?
Well, currently, I'm an artist. I'm currently working on the monster story for Cell Block Infinity, which I'm hoping to get out there as soon as possible and have something to show you guys by con at the very latest, but we actually do have a couple of ideas that we're working on right now. One I'm not certain, well, I think it was briefly introduced in the first podcast, but that's the assassin maid story that I know AJ's working on right now. And that's something I definitely am interested in working on as well.
We're actually hoping on getting that first panel up sometime in the next week or so, depending on if our lazy-ass artist actually can draw it.
Guilty as church.
Let me ask you something real quick, Brandon. Being the new guy here, how do you enjoy working on the comic, the stories that are out there, everything? What do you think about it?
To me, it's really interesting. I know when I first read your script for Monster, what appealed to me about the story was just how different it was, and I just felt this unique take on how the focus of the story were the villains, but at the same time, they had this strong sense of humanity in them because they had all had their powers stripped. And also the sense of redemption. Like, it was written so well that I knew, from an artist standpoint, it was something that had been worked on so well that I could tell that the effort had been there. I know in some of my own projects that I've done, It's a bit harder on the writing side. I mean, I can visualize it, but getting it down first is somewhat of a chore for me. And I could tell that was something that I wanted to be a part of and get to work with some people that were pretty creative and pretty talented and could write things that weren't the conventional
mainstream.
Yeah, the conventional mainstream comic book formula that, although, you know, I'm a fan of and have read for years, but it was just something refreshing, and that's something that I wanted to be a part of.
Oh, awesome. How do you enjoy it so far? I mean, you think you're going to have any problems drawing it up or anything? Are you hitting any roadblocks yet?
Initially, and I know this is something that we kind of went over, when I first started doing the story, I guess I just didn't have a feel for the artistic direction as far as even creating the design for what the monster would look like. And AJ was nice enough to show me some art and some things. I get this. The first thing that comes to mind was a couple of pictures from some of the older Hellraiser movies, and I kind of got an idea as far as, like, the graphic nature of the book and what this guy was going to end up looking like. The second thing would probably be, in terms of the graphic nature, I haven't ever really drawn something that was as gritty as the monster story for Cell Block Infinity. It's something that's new to me, but at the same time, it was something that I knew I wanted to do because it reminded me of some of Frank Miller's earlier work, in not in the story, but in the sense of how graphic and how raw and how gritty it could be. And again, that's really what made me want to work on the story, was just how realistic it is, and how violent, and how at the same time it's something that I could see happening. Like it's something. There's not a bunch of spandex clad, perfect bodied people that are trying to save the day, so to speak. It was something that I could see happening in this realm.
Sweet. I'm sorry, I'm wiping up from the juicy blowjob frame that just gave me on the mic. Hang on a second. Lord Dab there, I'm a little blushy. I might have to go smoke after that.
You hungry?
Yeah, welcome to panel. That's awesome. I know I personally, as a writer, am fairly excited to see some of the work that's going to come out on it. I hope everybody understands that right now with all the stuff that we got going on, I mean, between work and the women that we have at home that are demanding our attention.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that problem right now.
I'm sorry, the men that Brian has at home demanding his attention.
Fuck you, AJ.
And the fact that we have so many damn stories going on, it's hard to figure out where we're starting. You know, I mean, originally we wanted to start off on Sublock Infinity. We thought that would be the groundbreaker because it's so, as Brandon said, gritty and real. And it's just, in my opinion, and I know, like, being a co-writer of it, it's the shit, you know. But again, because it's such a big, momentous, and huge story, it's like, why are we climbing Mount Everest first when we can just hop over a hill real quick? You know, so I think that's why we're going to try and divert attention over to the Maids comic. Because like I said, it's just a 3-panel strip. Goes up maybe once a week or so. And it's fairly simple. I mean, I've already got the first 10 strips written out. And there's maybe like 10 words of dialogue all over. It's all just image and direction at that point, you know, so.
Makes my job easier.
Yeah, exactly. What is your job anyway, Ben?
Nothing.
See? Hi, well, let's do a little sidetrack now that you've gotten to hear Brandon's smooth voice on the mic.
Uh-huh.
Last week, on Saturday, we didn't do a panel cast. Why, you may ask? Because Brandon and I were busy exploring the other side of our geekdom. What were we doing last Saturday, Brandon?
We oiled up men slam into each other.
Well, I don't know if they were oiled up, but we did go to a WWE Raw show. House show out in Los Angeles. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed everything up to the point when an associate of ours farted in the car.
Okay, you guys didn't have to sit in the back seat with him, right? My eyes were watering. You think that window was down because I was hot?
All I remember is my girlfriend asking me the directions home, and I literally could not read the Google directions that were printed because my eyes were watering. But
God, I hope he doesn't listen to this.
That's why I didn't say his name.
Hey, I didn't mention his name at all. Other than the gaseous experience, had you been to a wrestling show before, a live show?
I've been to a couple of house shows at Cal State, my alma mater, CSUSB, and last year, my girlfriend was cool enough to get me tickets to No Way Out for Christmas, and we went to that. That was at the Staples Center, too. So, I've been to a couple of shows. I have no problem admitting that I'm a wrestling fan. I know it's fake before anybody, like, sends anything in.
What? Why do you have to break my heart like that?
I'm sorry. It's just...
No Santa Claus either.
I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I guess the best way to describe it would be it's kind of like a male soap opera.
It's a male soap opera. I mean, we pretty much know like what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. It's just seeing it actually go through the motions, you know, like, I know we sit here often, I mean very often, and just talk about either last night's show or the next pay-per-view coming up or how we hate John Cena or, you know, stuff like that all the time. I mean, we know what's going on, but damn, we get to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a lot we talk about during the day that, aside from work. I mean, we talk about the comics, comic book world, cartoons, video games, wrestling, and I think it's just something we add to our conversation. I mean, it allows us to, I don't know, I don't want to say bond, but helps the day go by quicker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I know when I go home and I'm watching the show at night, I'm like, oh, damn, I can't wait to bring this point up yet tomorrow, or I wonder if they saw this, you know, and so it's a nice bonus to the work day. Plus, I like wrestling because, you know, I'm old, and back in the day, that's what we used to do. But anyway, back to the pay-per-view. Ric Flair was there, which is, you know, a highlight of my evening, anytime I get to see him there. The booing of Snitsky, the lack of reaction from JBL, you know, I have to admit that I had an eye-opening moment while I was there, and that was seeing Triple H. Okay, so to me, Triple H, I don't know if you guys are wrestling fans, and I don't care. to me, Triple H is always a dick on screen. You know, he just seemed like this big, huge cock.
Oh, the name of Triple H?
Right. You know,
what else could you be, right?
Exactly. I mean, might as well be Preparation H. It just isn't there. So, yeah, this guy was always a complete dick on the screen, and that's why for some as I never really liked him, especially hearing about his backstage politics the whole night. So anyway, after the match is over, the show is over, basically, he comes down out the ring and he goes around in the crowd around the ring and hugs everybody, hugs all the kids, shakes everybody's hand, thanks them for being there. You know, he's generally having a great time and he's cracking jokes the whole night, and that showed me the difference, you know, between the on-screen persona as far and the real-life persona, you know, so in that moment, he gained all of the respect that he had lost throughout the years.
That's true.
You know?
And to emphasize on AJ's point, this was a house show, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't televised, and he did take the time to go out and shake everyone's hand.
Exactly, because, I mean, house shows, they're not televised. Nobody sees them except for the crowd. You know, for all they care, you know, thanks for your money, bye, bitch. And they could have been, and some of the wrestlers were. You know, but, I mean, Ric Flair, he waved at everybody, bowed down, was graceful about it. He knows who put him where he is, you know. And here's Triple H. I mean, this guy's married to the CEO's daughter. He doesn't have to do this shit. You know what I mean? He's done. He comes out to the crowd, shakes hands, hugs everybody, is grateful, and he's just happy. And that impressed me.
That was beautiful, AJ.
It was. We're all crying now.
I am, man. I'm starting to tear up here a little bit.
Brian's just jealous he's not in there in the ring. He wants to be lathered up with oil and tights and become Chuck the Humble Bitch.
Spandex.
Huh? I could see Brian wrestling. I could see him, like, being the second generation Shark Boy.
No. He's more Spike Dudley. Doesn't really do a goddamn thing. Too damn skinny. But he's got two big black and white brothers that take care of his ass. Alright, well, we're gonna change up the subject here real quick. You may notice we do this throughout the show. It's because I don't want to just stay on one topic the whole time. I mean, granted, Brandon and I can probably kick back a few hours of wrestling talk all night.
Yes.
But, I mean,
and Brian would hate us for
Brian
it.
Would hate us for it.
I already hate you for it.
And it wouldn't be that fun of a show.
And that was like 5 minutes, and he already hates us.
Plus, you can be like, oh, fuck, wrestling? Enough of this show. Now. We're going to give you variety. So, the next subject we want to talk about is webcomics. We all read them, I presume. Brian, you read them?
Yes, I do.
Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Penny Arcade for, like, the Penny Arcade got me through college. That's all I can say. Between
Brian,
midterms.
What's your favorite, Brian?
Right now, the one that I actually am partial to is The Order of the Stick.
Really? I've never heard of that one.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's the crappiest drawn webcomic.
First off, you guys have to understand that this is the first time I've ever seen Brian smile. I'm kind of creeped out by it. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll move the mic closer. Can you hear his smile?
Something melodramatic.
Shut up, bitch talk.
Like I was saying, The Order of the Stick is like the crappiest drawn webcomic you'll ever see. But it's intentional. It's all kind of like these like sort of stick figure like characters. But the reason I like it is because it's all based off of like, it's kind of like a spoof on the traditional Dungeons and Dragons setting. So it's like, you know, filled with all kinds of like, you know, in jokes and, you know, like breaking the fourth wall and all those little just kind of, you know, devices to kind of, you know, really appeal to the Dungeons and Dragons nerds. So, I mean, if you play Dungeons and Dragons and you like Dungeons and Dragons at all, you need to read The Order of the Stick.
Everybody in the room that has played Dungeons and Dragons, please raise your hand. Brandon! Damn!
I was actually about to ask you if you're not familiar with the Dungeons and Dragons universe, would you still be able to enjoy it?
How would he know? He's in the Dungeons and Dragons. We need to find a grouper.
Well, I know for me, what really sucks is, like, I've had friends that have shown me, like, some great, like, World of Warcraft sites that have, like, just the funniest things. Like, even showing mods where, like, they have their avatars or their characters doing, like, Michael Jackson dances and stuff. But, like, some WoW humor I just don't get because I'm not that familiar with WoW, so... I mean, I if it's accessible to someone like me, it would be a neophyte, I guess.
Order of the Stick is not really, like, super heavy with all of the references. I mean, for the most part, if you've played any sort of fantasy role-playing game, you'll get the jokes. Right. You know, I mean, they make jokes about a +5 sword, and everybody can pretty much guess what that means, you know, or something along that line. So you don't have to specifically be in Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dungeons & Dragons is pretty much the basis of all role-playing games that are out there nowadays, you know, so you don't really have to be, per se, a Dungeons & Dragons person to get that type of humor, I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, I played back in the day, old-school Dungeons & Dragons player, but, I mean, even now, with the games that I'm playing, you know, I'll see the references, and I'll get them.
Okay.
But even afterwards, like, any references outside, I know I'm torn to, like, okay, does it pertain to this game, or is it pertaining to this game? You know, I recently saw a movie called The Nines. Horrible movie, by the way, don't go see it. Where, like, Ryan Reynolds is basically a god, and he's walking around talking about how he created Evercrack, right? To which I laughed, because I know that Evercrack is a reference to EverQuest. You know, I even went on the IMDb message boards and argued with the guy because he said no. He said EverCraft. He was combining EverQuest and World of Warcraft. I know. I used to play EverQuest. I'm like, bitch, if you actually played, you would know it was called EverCrack.
Yeah.
By every player that played it because it was addicting.
I didn't even play it and I knew that.
Okay, see? See, you IMDb, or shut the fuck up. Anyway. But, I mean, there's just references all over the place, and I'm sure you can get, but they all lead back to Dungeons & Dragons, but you don't have to have played it.
Okay. If it's just general RPG elements, I'm sure I can
get
that.
Get it. I mean, you may want to, like, pick up a third edition book to get some of the references. But, you know, and really, though, you don't have to play Dungeons & Dragons to get it.
Right on.
Now, one of my favorites is, I have a couple, actually. I read Control Alt Delete. Which is just an amazing comic. The guy is my life. The other one is Least I Can Do, which is... it would be me if I looked good and had money. If I was a pimp, that would be my life. I mean, just the references all over the place. I mean, he drives a car with an Autobot symbol on it.
That's awesome.
That's the shit. So, there's a couple more I just picked up on. One is called Striptease, which is pretty good. And another one that's, oh, Jesus Christ. The writer for The Queen of Wands did it. They're both kind of cheeky comics, so don't look at me like I'm like that. But when you first start reading the other one, I can't remember what it's called, but give me a second and I will, because we have the internet here. Yes, you're going to hit the silence here. Leave us alone.
Stop talking, Brandon.
Has anybody seen Jumper? Because I'm still contemplating watching.
We were talking about that on the drive up here, actually. Yeah. The other comic book I read is...
Apparently it's Bourne meets The Matrix.
but it's got Hayden.
Yeah.
In stereo. the other one I read is called French and Kai.
From now on, he shall be referred to as Darth Whiney.
As the franchise killer.
I like that.
That's his new name, Whiney. The franchise killer. So yeah, like those are the webcomics I read. They're really awesome. You guys should check them out. I've actually done an interview with Selmer, the writer for Least I Can Do.
Really?
He's a really cool guy. He called me a thick fucker on the air. It was pretty cool.
He's like that bald guy that we talked to.
Yeah. He's a pretty cool cat. His webcomics are just funny. There's never a day where I'm not laughing about it. And then I go home and cry. Why do we hate Hayden Christensen so much?
I don't know. I think it's because he took an iconic character and just...
Kind of made him an emo fag.
Yeah. Kind of like the third Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't... I'm Sam Raimi.
I didn't get that, personally. I mean, I thought Sam Raimi did a great job on those movies, but I'm assuming that, I guess the same, based on what Brian just said... Like, you know, if you take someone like Darth Vader, who's got to be, like, one of the coolest villains of all time, and you turn
him into this villain.
Whiny, emo-type kid, like, come on.
I want the lightsaber! Where do I get the lightsaber?
I think my favorite memory out of the prequel trilogy had to been, what was the second one? Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
In that movie where he thinks he's badass and he starts dual wielding and...
gets his hand handed to him?
Yeah. That was an awesome moment for me.
Basically, sit down and shut up, bitch. That's what happened in that moment. Mine for me, I'm sorry, was episode one. It was all Darth Maul. Darth Maul is like the smooth, silent pimp. That's just all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that fucking kid that they had in that movie was like...
Jake Lloyd?
Oh, baby Anakin. That one?
Yeah, he was even worse.
Yeah.
Like, well, now you see what he evolved into, a whiny little bitch called Hayden. Who turned into a big, proud black man. I mean, come on. How did that happen?
If I could just say this on this podcast as a black man... Like, I remember in episode one, Anakin, baby Annie, being like a slave, and he was the happiest looking slave I've ever seen. He built a robot, and he worked for like this, I don't know, it was like a firefly who had this immigrant accent, and like, he was, you know, pod racing, which I think is like drifting back, or, in the future, I guess I should say. But, yeah, I just found that to be an interesting dynamic. Thank you, George Lucas, who I'm sure is an authoritarian on slavery. And
or at least child slavery. Well, yeah. So, Jumper.
Are we getting sued for this episode?
Probably.
We might.
Who cares? I think, actually, Brian's the only white guy in Forbidden Panel, so...
Hey, I'm half Mexican, fool.
Well, that's the wrong half, bitch. I think we're okay. Jumper. So, has anybody bothered to see it?
No.
I'm still questioning if I want to see it or not, because I heard briefly from some friends that it's not that good, or it got bad reviews, but I haven't heard firsthand from anyone if they've seen it or not, so...
Yeah, it looks like one of those movies I'm going to wait until somebody that I trust has seen it and tells me that it's alright.
Well, I mean, the fact that I've already downloaded it, but have yet what to watch it should say something. I mean... I'm interested in it. I want to check it out. Come on, Sammy Jackson. Right? But it's Hayden.
If I could say this, I would recommend reading the book, because that's partially my personal reason for wanting to see it. I read the book back in, like, 90s.
Is the book titled Jumper? Or is it...
Yeah, it's titled Jumper, and it's a really good book. It's worth checking out.
Anyway, back to movies. What's out there right now that you want to see other than Jumper?
That's a good question. What's that right? Oh, actually, Vantage Point looks interesting to me.
Damn, think that was loud enough for me?
Thirsty.
I actually had no interest in Vantage Point.
Really?
Yeah.
Why for?
It's an assassination that's from 8 different points of view.
Right.
When you obviously know that he didn't die.
Yeah.
So it's just a big conspiracy theory movie, action movie, that gave Matthew Fox something to do while Lost was on vacation.
And, yeah.
I mean, it seems maybe it'll be cool and all, but it's just not my thing.
Well, that's the thing, it's like, that's the only thing I can think of that's out right now that I would be...
Diary of the Dead!
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Did that get released stateside?
Yes, it's out at the mills right now, up the street.
I saw the last one. Was it Land of the Dead?
Do not mock Romero at this table.
The one with John Leguizamo. I just didn't really care.
You're depending on some thin ice there, buddy.
Okay, well, I'll keep my comment short.
Diary of the Dead just came out. Honestly, I don't know anything else. Spider-Man Chronicles, it's kind of interesting.
I would watch that. Is that out?
Yeah, it's out.
Nice.
That's all I know of. Anything coming to DVD? Michael Clayton, did you guys catch that?
No. I really want to see that. I'm not certain if it's already out or if it comes out.
Yeah,
it's out. I got it at the house.
That's something I definitely would watch.
What else? Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward. What's his name?
Robert. Or others. Something. Fucking, I don't know.
American Gangster. Just came out.
Watch that movie. If you guys want to see some serious drug dealing, watch that movie.
Because like, we can't just look out the window and see it.
Well, it's supposed to be based on a true story, and if it is, wow, that's all I can say. I don't want to ruin the movie for anyone, but it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, how about movies that we've all seen recently? What's the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw was, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
You actually went and saw that?
I saw it with my family.
Oh, man. That explains it, but I mean, I couldn't... There's no way in hell I'm going to pay to see a Martin Lawrence movie unless it's Bad Boys 3.
It was funny. It was funny, and wasn't too bad on the eyes. Had a couple of lookers in it, so...
Couple hookers?
Couple of lookers, but... It was funny. It's a cool little family movie. I would recommend it if you just want to have a couple laughs with your kids and your mother, father, brother, sister.
Okay. What else is out there? Just say no to Hannah Montana, people.
I don't think we really have to worry about that.
Is that like the new Lizzie McGuire? I have no idea what kind of Montana is.
You know, honestly, I was like, I haven't known for the longest time. I was at Walmart the other day, I was like, who the fuck is Hannah Montana?
That's what I do know. She is selling. She's making bank at Walmart. They have all types of stuff. They have all types of Hannah Montana stuff at Walmart.
That's all you need to know right there.
You know what just came out, though, that I have to go see is Be Kind Rewind.
Be Kind Rewind?
Yeah. Jack Black, Mos Def.
I definitely would want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see that remake of RoboCop.
Well, Jack Black to me is the most annoying actor in the world. But Mos Def I have lots of props for and respect for because it's just of his old school stuff and his rap days, you know?
Come back, Mos. Music needs you. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm not too happy with music right now.
Really? Why is that?
It's just, I mean, in terms of hip-hop and, like, mainstream, it's just, it's gotten crappy to me. It's like, all you really need is, 2-3 lyrics, and basically you loop the hook, and you have a hit record, and I'm not too, excited about that.
How do you feel about the nerdcore I've been making you listen to?
Nerdcore, big ups to Optimus Rhyme. That guy's awesome. Nerdcore is interesting to me. One thing I do love about Nerdcore is, like, there are people that are definitely just down for the art of hip-hop slash old-school video gaming. I know Brian, he actually gave me, he actually played something for me. I can't think of the artist's name at this moment, but the beat was, like, the ending song to, like, Mega Man 1 or 2.
Oh, that was Whitey Cracker.
Whitey Cracker. What an awesome MC name.
Optimus Rhyme, Whitey Cracker.
But these people, like, they, like, it's people like that that definitely are keeping, like, hip-hop culture alive. And they're not, most of them, like, they're, you can get their music free. So it's, like, yeah, it's not even about, like, the money to them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, on the way to con last year, he made us listen to some of it. And while, like, some of the beats and stuff were kind of cool, it was what they were rapping about, the fact that I knew every single fucking acronym that they were describing. Okay, and every single comic, cartoon, video game reference they said, I was like, Jesus Christ, get out of my fucking room. Get out of my office, because that's what you're doing. You're just raiding through my office talking shit about what I have on my shelf.
Yeah, even though they're talking shit.
I mean, I'm not saying they're talking shit. I'm not saying that I don't like it or anything. I think it's awesome. I love the shit. But, I mean, it's just, it was creepy. I was like, where's the bitches in the halls in the 40s? Why aren't we smacking some shit around?
It's a couple.
No, we're playing with a PDA and an iPhone, playing on a fucking Game Boy. Where's my Zelda music in the background? There it is. There it is. I hold the Triforce. You know, I'm like...
I'm down, AJ.
I can definitely, I get where you're coming from, and that's why I'm laughing so hard.
who was that con last year? Who was the Nerdcore guy at con?
There's quite a number of them. Whitey Crack was actually supposed to be there, but I missed his set, which pissed me off. But yeah, there's a bunch of people there.
There's a couple people there, and we were digging on it. Brandon, of course, didn't show up. Like, much like he didn't show up at the last podcast.
I suck, by the way.
I even gave him days off. You know, that's sad. What that reminds me of is that the fact that you're coming up on your 1 year here.
Am I really?
Yeah, I mean, con's coming in July. It's February.
Wow. That 1 year has come and gone very quickly.
Not only has it come and gone very quickly, but it's been a year since he's even drawn anything for us.
It's, you know, if I could say in my defense, holiday season came and went, and, you know, I had to work two jobs and make enough money to be
broke. That's what, like, 2 months out of that year?
Damn.
Good point, Brad. Good point.
Touche. This is the part where in the background I will sample Ron Simmons going, damn.
Well, I don't know if, when you initially invited me to con, I don't think we had started working on this project yet, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think we had talked about it and you expressed interest in it, but I'm not sure if you wholeheartedly signed on. I know I was pretty much pressuring the shit out of you to try and sign on.
Because I know that, at the time, you had actually told me of one of the stories that Frank Miller had actually looked at and told you that it was really good. And I, you know, talk about orgasmic.
I never heard
that
story.
That was impressive.
I never told it to you.
That, I mean, that would, wow. That's like James Brown coming up to me telling me I can dance. That's, and I know I can't, but I'm just saying.
He'd be lying.
I thought that was pretty awesome, and yeah.
With James to be in the background. He's a hell of a drunk. Okay, so for all three of us, on this next part, inspirations as far as art and writing and drawing and stuff. Who do you gain the most, garner the most inspirations from?
Currently is a question mark for me, just because there's so many talented artists out there. if I can give a brief history, and I will be as brief as possible, when I first started drawing, which I've been drawing as long as I can remember, but one of the first artists in comics that really made me want to get into it was Jim Lee. And to this day, I still believe he's like the Michael Jordan of just art. Like, there's nothing I've seen him do that I haven't liked. His run on Batman was awesome and really hard to find for anyone who went out to comic book stores. And a lot of people that have inspired me, I'm not even sure if they're drawing anymore. I don't know what happened to Eric Larson. Like, I love Eric Larson, and he needs to come back.
He's still drawing.
Because, I mean, I haven't seen or heard of him, like, since Savage Dragon.
He was at Con last year.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's reason enough. That would have been reason enough for me to have gone.
So was Jim Lee?
Yeah, see, I mean, anything he did. When I was in high school, one of my dreams was to just make it out and try to get a job at Wildstorm Studios. Which no longer exists, but
please, I've got these cheeseburgers.
I loved him, dude. He was awesome, and I mean, everything. Wildcats. I can't think of one project I've seen him do, like, draw that wasn't just artistically just engaging and made me want to, like, read it. I loved all his stuff in X-Men. That's when I really started reading X-Men. His brief. Well, I'm not sure how long he drew Uncanny X-Men, but when the X-Men broke off and had their own comic book, I was collecting those. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Jim Lee designed and or created Omega Red, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, so I mean, he's definitely one of my biggest inspirations. Nowadays, I'm not as familiar with comics as I used to be, but from some of the stuff that AJ's shown me, like, there's just some awesome, there's some awesome artists out there. As far as writers, I know Josh Whedon, he's...
Joss?
I'm sorry, Joss. His stuff is awesome. I really like what he's doing. People like him that are currently working in comic books right now, they've really changed it. I'm more of a comic book reader from the 90s, and I can see how it's matured.
With a sudden influx of high mainstream writers, I mean, like Orson Scott Carr, and Joss Whedon, as you said, it's kind of this re-established the industry. Not that I'm sure there was any drop down or anything, but the influx of those types of writers that are fairly established in their own rights. I mean, Orson Scott Card, like we discussed last time, yeah. Ender's Game is one of my favorite books ever. And to see him writing for Ultimate Iron Man right now is just impressive. Joss Whedon, come on, dude, fucking Buffy, Angel,
yeah.
Firefly, and now he's working on Astonishing X-Men.
I feel really bad because I never really watched Firefly, but I saw the movie. I saw the movie, and I...
Firefly is Cowboy Bebop live action.
That would be a fair assessment. I would agree with you on that.
I mean, even the music in the background is jazzy and reminiscent. It's one of my favorite shows, and it pisses me off that it went down.
Yeah.
That happens a lot with Fox.
Family Guy.
Family Guy took a, 3-year hiatus before it came back.
Thank God for Cartoon Network.
Right.
Resurrected that show.
Now, while we're on the subject, TV shows, what are you guys watching right now? What are your favorite shows? What do you look forward to in the evening? Touching yourself?
Damn. Well, watching right now, let's see. Not really a whole lot of stuff new that I like watching. I started watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is not too bad. I thought it was going to be pretty fucking terrible, but it's not.
You're pleasantly surprised.
Tell us how you really feel.
How about being surprised at the fact that it's going to be canceled?
I'm not surprised at all.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on that.
All
the
TV
board.
Shows that I actually start getting into when I'm watching them, they keep getting canceled. It's freaking Journeyman.
Journeyman was awesome,
great.
Dude.
Great.
That show was just
can't.
Magnificent. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, and no, I know you guys. I know you guys are gonna disagree with me, but I actually was a fan of the Bionic Woman show, and when I found out that was canceled, I mean, I wasn't disappointed, but it did kind of suck because I thought it was interesting. I'm old enough to remember the old show, so I'm just like, wow, like it was just kind of interesting how they modernized it, I guess.
Well, gave Isaiah Washington said to do.
Yeah, and he didn't call anyone a homosexual or a derogatory. He didn't call anyone a bionic homosexual. Like, he was a good boy.
The only thing I really liked about that show was Starbuck. The fact that Starbuck was on it, but her character ended up just being, like, very typecast and typical drug addict, basically, type of person, you know? But on what Brian had said, Journeyman. To me, Journeyman was just an awesome show. It had so much potential. It was Quantum Leap, basically. Just a little twist on the story. And I think being just a huge fan of Quantum Leap back in the day made me just slide into the show so easily.
Well, I think it just had, like, really good character development.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The way they dealt with, like, relationships.
Oh,
it
yeah.
wasn't about the time travel so much as how these different people have to kind of deal with this situation.
Right. And it's just... I don't know, dude.
Did he become different people?
Like, No. The difference between him, that, and Quantum Leap was that he would just leap back in time to an instance where some shit was going down, and his job was to help whoever his instinct told him to help out. And he was him, but, you know, just back in the past.
Right.
So he would help them out in that instance, go back home, chill out, leap back to, like, maybe a couple years later or a couple hours after that or whatever, and continuing helping that person throughout the episode, you know, keep leaping back to different points in time, helping that same individual until they got to where they needed to be in life.
Wow.
You know?
That's heavy.
Yeah, it was pretty deep. Especially when it turns out his girlfriend was one that, you know, had supposedly died 8 years previously when really she just left back home. She just went home. Bitch went home.
Yeah, that's another good point about that show is Moon Blood Good.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Baby, don't listen to this. Okay, for a girl that whose parents obviously hated her by naming her Moon Blood Good, they obviously played Vampire the Masquerade at some point in their life. That bitch is hot. Okay, between her and...
I'm a little disappointed.
She actually knows how to act, too, which is
She did a damn good job. You know, she... her and Summer Glau, it's all we needed. Anyway, Terminator's really good. I really dig on it. It saddens me that it might be on the cutting block. I'm basically talking about all the new shows that came out recently. But because of the writer's strike... Most of these shows, they didn't get a fighting chance because, I mean, the people heard about the writing strike and basically went to their old favorites and kept watching them because they wanted to catch up before they went away. And so all the new shows just went to crap, you know. Yeah. I mean, Big Bang Theory is an awesome show.
No, I don't know that.
You guys should check it out.
Oh, that's that comedy show.
Yeah, is that what I told you about? That's how we roll in the Shire.
Yeah.
It's you put three geeks across the hall from a hot chick, and that's what it is. You know, and it's nice to see that, because it's Jason Padalecki, who was the boyfriend in Roseanne. So it's nice to see, like, Roseanne characters show off, like Rory Metcalf and Gilbert. You know, his girlfriend, and the show's just awesome. It's just awesome.
That one didn't get canceled.
Though. No, it's still
okay.
On. Goddamn, what else have I been watching? I was about to start watching Moonlight, the vampire cop show, but instead I just started watching Forever Night reruns and got what I needed.
Just to date myself, for a minute there, I thought AJ was talking about Moonlighting.
With Bruce Willis.
Sybil Shepherd.
Damn. We're all old here.
No, to be honest, when I heard the name of the show coming out, I was like, fuck, would they bring it back? Was it Rumor Willis is in this now? you know, there's a lot of other shows. Battlestar Galactica. Just amazing.
That didn't get canceled, though.
No,
okay.
That is an amazing show. I love that show.
Yeah. Have they started coming out with new episodes for that yet?
March.
Keeping up.
March, I believe, is when it's coming out. all of the shows, by the way, that in case you weren't aware, the writer's strike is indeed over. New episodes of all the shows will be starting in April.
Right. The whole writer's strike thing, actually, I started, like, watching a lot of, like, internet TV shows. You know, like, just because of, like, the whole strike thing was going on, so, like...
I had to watch American Gladiators.
Okay, I'm down with you on that one.
Which I think got picked up for 2 seasons, because there was nothing else on. And Hulk Hogan needs money right now. He needs it, because Linda's taking half, for sure.
So tomorrow when he shows up with his 12-inch python instead of 24, we'll know where the other 12 went. Yeah, American Gladiators, I loved it. I mean, being a fan of the original series, it was nice to see it come back. Titan, an original member of the American Gladiators from the old school, came back. Justice, who was on Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Crush, who's just... Damn. You know?
Crush isn't a man, right?
That's good. We should confirm that before.
She's the American kickbox champion.
Okay.
Which means she can wrap her legs around me all she wants. Again, baby, I hope you're not listening.
I hope your girlfriend doesn't listen to
that. That's who I was talking to! Damn! That's it as far as the TV shows can go. I can't really think right now because I'm on the spot. Do you guys think of any other shows you're watching that you...
Just House. I love House. And
I've been watching American Idol, and I'm ashamed to admit that, but I have. There's been nothing on. Like, what do you want from me?
Brian's rubbing his head in shame.
Football's over. There's no baseball on right now. I mean, I've been watching basketball, but as far as TV shows... I caught the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the pilot, and I thought that was pretty good. And I would have liked to have seen where it was going, but, you know.
It's still on for now. It hasn't exactly hit the shelf yet.
Well, I think the next episode has...
Brian Austin Green?
Yeah.
Yeah. So see,
they're probably going to pull the plug on that real soon.
He actually plays the uncle. He is Kyle Reese's brother. Come back in time to help out. It was actually a pretty interesting storyline. I was not upset with it. Other than TV, how about the video games? Yeah. See, now we're going to have a decent conversation, okay? Because, first off, Brandon is a 360 bitch. Brian plays the Wii.
And I've got the term achievement whore. Thank you.
I've got the PlayStation 3, otherwise known as the winner of the American Gladiator Award. For beating out high-definition DVDs. Hands down, just one console. Wasn't even the Blu-ray players that won.
No.
The PlayStation 3 led it to victory. Bring home the gold.
At least people that own PS3s will have something to do now. Now they can watch movies and you know, since HD DVDs, it's gone.
Well, you know, honestly, it gave me something to do while Devil May Cry 4 was downloading or installing into my system.
I was learning Sanskrit.
Another reference to a webcomic.
Right now, as AJ mentioned, I'm playing Devil May Cry 4, which, surprisingly, I'm enjoying.
I just beat Dante.
Yeah, I just got to the part of the story arc where you get to play as him, which I guess when they announced Devil May Cry 4, some of the diehard fans were a little peeved because it's almost when, I don't know, I'm sure you guys are familiar, I'm sure you guys have had PS2s, it's almost reminiscent of when Metal Gear Solid 2 came out,
right?
And everyone hated Raiden. It was like, okay, why are we playing as this guy? Why did we play as Snake for like 30 minutes? But I'm impressed. It's a really good game. It's pretty.
Yeah, it is very
pretty. It's pretty.
I just got to the game. Major spoilers ahead. I just got to the part of the game where you fight Dante. And having played Nero for so long in this game, when I got to fight Dante, I was like, oh, damn, that's right. Dante kicks ass. Damn, that's the shit I should have been doing all this time. You know? Because, I mean, Dante whipped my ass. I mean, I beat him.
He's Dante.
I beat him. It took me 3 hours, but I beat the motherfucker. But the game is pretty. I mean, it's your basic hack and slash, you know?
Yeah.
You're a button mashing fool, running around, praying you don't accidentally jump into an area that takes you 5 levels back, that you have to walk through the whole damn thing all over again. Which I did today, by the way. But it's a good game. I mean, before that I was playing, like, Call of Duty 4, which is just an intense, badass game.
I still need to get that.
Brian, are you playing anything on the Wii that's of interest?
Actually, I just finished playing Super Paper Mario, which I know it sounds like it's kind of a stupid game, but...
Bro, Call of Duty! That's it! Slashing! Oh, look, a super skinny plumber jumping around.
I will actually defend Brian on this, just because, if I'm not mistaken, those... the Super Paper or Paper Mario games follow the Mario RPG, right? It's kind of like part of the same series.
Yeah.
Which was like an awesome RPG game that Squaresoft made, like using Mario characters. So. But I'm gonna let him speak on the Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten a little bit of crap for playing it, but you know, because it's not like
I'm a fan of Kirby, so I can't get mad at you.
Yeah, it's like graphically, you know. I guess, you know, I mean, it's not in this, like, you know, crazy, like, you know, PlayStation 3 or...
Unreal Engine type stuff.
You know, I mean, it doesn't have all these great bump maps and everything, but, I mean, in terms of, like, the graphics, the way that they did them for the game, it looks fucking amazing, you know? I mean, it's seriously, like, you're controlling a cartoon.
Right,
you know, cool. And I mean, and like, you know, the transition between like flipping into like 2D and 3D is flawless, you know, there's nothing awkward about it, and it just, you know, the way that they made the game, like, it just really, it really works, and, you know.
How's that controller? I mean, I haven't played the Wii or held the NunChuck, but, I mean.
You know, you hold it sideways, and it's just like playing the freaking old school Nintendo, you know, you got two buttons and your freaking D-pad, and that's really all you need. You know, and they add, like, a whole bunch of different types of, like, you know, gameplay elements in there.
Because, you know, for me, the best controller ever out there was the 64 controller.
Yeah. That
trigger and thumb pad right in the middle, you know, just made me fucking flip some Zelda ass so much easier.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, too, is that I like is that Super Paper Mario also has, like, an entire world that's, like, devoted to the original Super Mario Brothers. And like that thing.
Sweet.
Like 8-bit throwback, which is
nice. You also said you were playing another game, Brandon?
I'm actually playing Lost Odyssey, which is a really good RPG. Not that I was intentionally foreshadowing, but it runs on the Unreal Engine, which in my opinion is like one of the best graphic engines out there. But it's really good. It's actually the composer and the creator of the original Final Fantasy.
Which one? 1, 2, 3?
I believe he did 1 and 2.
1 and 2 were only released in Japan until recently, correct?
Yeah.
No, 1, the original was released on the NES.
1?
Yeah.
No, 1 and 2 were never released on
the Final Fantasy 1 was the same.
1 was, yeah, and I think 2, was it 2 that wasn't?
No.
Well, make me wiki.
I think Brian's right. Because there is a, yeah.
Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy 3 were never released in the US until recently.
Right.
And then when Final Fantasy 4 came out, they changed the title to 2.
Right, right. It was released on Nintendo, 2 was released on the Famicom in Japan.
Right, but Final Fantasy 1 in Japan and America were like the only times when the two, like American and Japanese, you know, games had the same number.
Right. Because after that, the next one for America was 4. And then, 7, which of course is the greatest Final Fantasy ever. Which, you know, they know because they're still banking on that shit. I mean, how many extra Final Fantasy 7 games are there?
I was
about
down...
47?
Yeah.
I was so angered when, one of the few times where I did consider buying a PS3, besides when they showed Metal Gear Solid 4, was,
Resistance 2.
Well, they used to have a Final Fantasy VII demo for the PS3, but Squaresoft, Square Enix now, you know, they said it was only a demo to show off, like,
the graphics and the power of the machine.
Because wow, in a heartbeat, I would sell so much stuff to buy a PS3 to play a remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Well, like I said before, man, when Resistance 2 comes out, you're going to have to hop on board.
That game really impresses me. I did read about the multiplayer co-op story mode that's completely separate from the single campaign. Just the online multiplayer sounds
64,
like it could be...
64 player multiplayer?
Yeah.
8-person co-op story mode.
You know how many 12-year-olds are going to be cussing and fragging people when that game comes out? Like, a lot more than are doing it right now. And there's a lot of those fuckers out there. They're everywhere.
There's no bitterness, as you can tell. Brandon loves all.
I'm just waiting for Silent Hill 5 to come out before I get my PS3. That way I can have the shit scared out of me in HD.
Actually, I want to ask you a question, because I know you have a Wii, Brian. Mm-hmm. Were you as angered as I was? And I don't even have a Wii, but when I found out that Super Smash Bros. Brawl got delayed again...
God damn it, I've been waiting and waiting for that fucking game. That was the reason I bought the Wii in the first place, and it just...
I was downright irate.
Starting to get the jitters.
Isn't Vader and Yoda showing up in that shit?
No,
that's Soul Calibur.
For that one. Okay, who got it on what system? I'm coming over.
I think the PS3 gets Vader too. So.
Oh, what the fuck are you on?
Yeah.
You guys can come over to my place.
I mean, granted, normally it's normal for Nintendo to delay their games multiple times. I mean, anyone that's ever played like some of the recent Zelda games know that, but...
Anybody that's ever owned a Sony knows that?
it's brutal, though. I mean, to push it back another month, I was so excited for that game that I was gonna buy a Wii the day it
came out. I'm just waiting for my ultimate Mario vs. Sonic showdown.
Yeah. When I saw that Solid Snake was in that game, I was like, could this game be any more frivolous? Like, who else is in it? Maybe Kratos?
Captain N? Where's Kratos?
Maybe, I don't know.
Alright, let's zoom away, because we're going a little over on time here. Con is coming up in July. Are you guys excited to go, or
Definitely. Are
we all going?
I'm amped. I plan on being there, and I plan on having, at the very least, a preview. Edition of Cell Block Infinity with the monster storyline.
I'm excited to go. I had a blast last time, so you know, I want to go and try to do a little bit more schmoozing with celebrities.
Because last year it was Ryan's first time. We popped his cherry at Con, and it was hard walking around him because I mean, he's hard on just.
Yeah, but
I think he ran out of skin at one point. I mean, just, I couldn't tell the difference between pain and orgasmic envy on his face that he expressed. I mean,
that's kind of similar to the monster character.
Yeah,
like, just ran out of skin.
We just made him walk in front of us and be the crowd breaker.
You crack through that ice. We're going through that glacier. Yeah, I have a blast at Con every year. Every year is just awesome. This year, though, Watchmen. That's all I care about. That's my main focus. I'm going to go see Watchmen. And that's just all there is to it. The Wolverine Origins preview will be shown. I'm on with that. I mean, come on, dude. I don't know if you guys have heard yet, but the amazing cast that are adding to that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the movie's gonna suck ass, but the fact that we're gonna see all the characters in one, my favorite character of all time is a tie between Wolverine and Deadpool. And to me, Deadpool is Wolverine with my mouth. In all honesty, and the fact that they casted Ryan Reynolds to get Deadpool, nailed it. I think, cause, I mean, he's been pulling for it. Between that and Wally West, that's what Ryan Reynolds wants to do, and honestly, he's a perfect character. For both, you know, so that's what I'm looking for at Con. That and Zack Snyder's Watchmen, which he just wrapped filming on. He's gonna have a sneak peek for us there. Watchmen to me is the all-time favorite comic book ever put out. Again, like I mentioned in the last podcast, only comic book to ever win any literary awards was also the last comic book to win any literary awards. It broke the boundaries of comic books and how they were perceived and looked at, and the fact that this movie is coming out by Zack Snyder, the guy that did 300, has me excited.
Yeah, I think that's going to be good. It's weird for me because I actually read Watchmen quite a bit of time after it was released. In 99, when I started going to Cal State, I used to work for the library there, and they actually had a copy of it there's actually a comic book section at our library, and it was like the first thing I picked up, and I just took it home. I mean, I checked it out, of course, but
Are you sure?
It's really.
Well, see, it's because of that comic book that libraries do now have a comic book section.
I believe that. Like, I would.
It broke the walls down. It's like, we're not funny books anymore. It's all about rape and Dr. Manhattan and Rorschach. Come on. You know?
Really good. I'm probably going to get my ass beat here, but I've never read the Watchmen comics.
Nah.
you noticed a long pause before Brandon forgave him.
Well, I just wanted Brian to feel relief because I saw the look AJ was throwing in there. But I think for someone that hasn't read it, I think you would really like it just because.
Especially because I know the type of style you like and everything.
Yeah.
You'll like this comic book, this graphic novel. I'll put it on the disc that I've been telling you. I think I actually did. I put it on the disc I made you.
Is the Watchmen on there?
Yeah, the Watchmen's on there. Right. Read it. I don't care what you're reading right now. Read Watchmen. Yeah. Serious, because it's not only a really good graphic novel and comic book, but the fact that, again, like I was stating last time we did the panel cast, it ended. There was a 12-issue limited series run that ended. It had a beginning and a definitive end. So at no point in time in the comic did anything drag on.
Right.
It was very to the point, deliberate, and it was just a hell of a ride.
It was.
And on top of that, it's an awesome discussion piece. Anybody that's ever read it, we could all sit down and talk about it, and it's just amazing. You just have
to
read it.
How much money are you getting for this plug?
Zack Snyder, I will email me at aj@forbiddenpanel.com. I take PayPal. Alan Moore. Yeah. I know I keep going on about it, but I love the comic. I love the comic. And if you haven't read it out there, I know a couple of people out there on our forums, because of the picture I recently posted up there, picked up the graphic novel to read it. You'll understand.
I wouldn't say that your praise is unjust, though. It's deserving. It really is. It's an iconic piece of literature. It really is.
Whenever I run across anybody that hasn't read comics, you know, and they're mock me or make fun of the fact that I do or that I want to write them or anything, I give them that one. I say, read this. If you can come back to me honestly after reading this and still talk shit, then you're justified.
That would be hard to do.
Right, and 90% of them, they come back and they're like, please give me more, you know. The other comic book I love, I know it's off topic, but the other comic book I love and I'm looking forward to trying to find as much as I can while I'm there is Powers. Powers is just an amazing comic book.
I remember you telling me about that, actually.
If you guys out there haven't heard about it, Powers is a comic book about two detectives that are cops in a world surrounded by superheroes, and their job is to solve crimes done by supervillains. And superheroes, because a law is passed that superheroes aren't allowed anymore. So these two normal Joes go out there and that's their job.
Sounds a lot like John Ridley's story in the novel called Those Who Walk in Darkness. It's a really good, pretty awesome novel about the same kind of thing where, like, you know, super people have been outlawed, and except it's a pretty violent because it. Like, the main character in the novel, she's, like, this police officer who joins, like, a special unit at the LAPD to hunt down, like, super people to basically kill them, you know? Like, they're supposed to just arrest them.
Like a superhero assassination squad?
Yeah, but they basically, all they do is they go out and kill superheroes.
So kind of like Wanted?
I don't know that.
Never mind. Anyway, if you guys haven't read it, read Powers. It's a really great series. Brian Michael Bendis is the creator and the writer.
Wow.
And he puts it out himself. Like, it's not under any label or anything. It's under his own label. He puts it out himself. It's on Volume 2.
issue number 28 now, and it's just an amazing read. You should check it out.
Yeah, anybody who's read, like, Ultimate Spider-Man for, like, the last God knows how many years, I'm not familiar exactly how long Ultimate Spider-Man's been out, but his run on that was amazing. He did some really good work, so.
Well, most of the stuff I've ever read by him is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and the amount of Eisner Awards he's won because of all the work he's done, it speaks for itself, you know. Almost every comic book out there is trying to get him involved.
I would.
His run on the Civil War. God, so much. He's all over the place, and it's amazing. It's impressive to me that the man still has his own creativity to write about, you know, which is powers. So, yeah, check it out. Well, before we go, for any of you guys out there, we are looking for more artists. All of our stories are fairly detailed and fairly graphic, but I want to invite other artists to come and join us because I want to see the stories in different points of view. For example, Cellblock Infinity has many different characters in it, and each of those characters will have their own short, like either one issue, maybe two issue series leading into the actual main bulk of the story, and I would like to see those issues done by other points of view, other artists, to give their own personality to those characters. So we're always looking for artists. We have tons of stories that need to be drawn. So if you're interested, please hit the forums, email us on the site, forbiddenpanel.com. There's advertisements up on Craigslist asking for artists. We're done with writers. We've got enough of those. We just need some artists to get in there. I mean, and it's not a dig on Brandon or Ryan for their artwork. I'm very excited to see what they have to do. But again, we have a lot of stories, and we just want to put them out there. Even if you just want to draw what your interpretation of the character should be like, awesome, I don't care. Send all submissions, everything over to Forbidden Panel, submissions at ForbiddenPanel.com. Join the forum, sign up, register. Lord knows we can use the hits and have some more people to talk to and interesting conversations, you know. Keep a lookout for us on the web. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to it?
No. I think we've pretty much covered everything.
I'm gonna definitely make it to the next one, and, you know, we'll keep you guys informed as to what we'll be working on, and, if we can convince AJ, maybe he can briefly go into Annihilation for, the listeners, because I know that that's a pretty interesting and epic storyline that I wouldn't mind having a discussion on, but
well, you haven't
now
read
I'm just
it.
Being a fanboy. So.
You haven't read it yet. Have you read Annihilation?
No.
Anybody out there read Annihilation? Honestly, I came across it secondhand. A friend of mine said, hey, you should read the series. I take his word as gospel because I respect his work. Joey, he's the artist on AtomicDetective.com. Good friend of mine. Suggested it. Annihilation is basically this big wave of aliens from the negative zone whose leader is Annihilus, and he wants to absorb all the energy he can from the our universe so that he can rule both the negative zone and our universe. In doing so, he decides to kill three or four of Galactus' heralds, and pursuant to Galactus himself, when he finally gets a hold of Galactus with the help of Thanos, they take Galactus's planet-devouring machine, which takes the planet and transmits its energy and gives it to Galactus. They turn it into a device that they crucify Galactus onto after beating his ass. Okay, they got people...
Yeah.
Galactus was swinging and fighting and got his ass handed to him. They crucify Galactus onto the machine. They use his powers to absorb the energies on and absorb the energies from Galactus to themselves. So they basically use him as a lens to bring it all into. So if you have yet to read the series, if anything, just to see Galactus throw down, you should check it out. It's pretty intense. And I was actually pretty pissed that I let this story go by me. You know, when it actually came out. I was grateful because now I get to read, you know, all of them at once instead of waiting like a month or what have you for the next issue to come out. I can read it all in one sitting, but still at the same time I'm like, damn, what was I? Oh, yeah, that's right, Civil War.
Of course.
I was reading that shit. So, Anyway, so again, thank you both of you guys for joining us.
No problem.
Anytime.
Guys, listeners, thanks for tuning in and downloading. Last time we had a real big, great turnout on the panel cast. Hopefully we'll have just as great as a turnout. If you have any questions or anything, again, just hop onto the Forbidden Panel. You do have to register to be on our forum so that we can avoid getting all the porno that we were getting on the site.
No trolling.
Yeah. Say something, even if you want to cuss us out. We don't care. We want feedback. If you want to hear us discuss something on the next show, you've got questions for us.
You want me to take my pants off on the next podcast?
You want him to take his pants off? God, I hope you don't. But if you do, I mean, if you got, in fact, think of a list of questions you want us to answer, toss them on the forum, or answer them on the next podcast or what have you.
That would be cool.
All right, guys. Well, again, episode 2 in the tank. Thanks, guys.